Welcome back to the Average to Savage Show with Scaletti, a podcast that will help you overcome your limiting beliefs, setbacks, and fears to create the life you were destined to live. Record whatever you want, my friend.
Well, that's what it's going to be. And I don't have an editor, so all this is going on there because I knew you're always fired out of a cannon. So I was like, I'm not missing this for nothing.
Oh, I love it. I appreciate you saying that. Wait, I got to ask what your shirt says. Strong and it's teasing me
strong
now.
Strong and pretty.
Oh, I love that.
So strong, you need to get pretty. You need to get you one.
Oh, I love that shirt.
So it's Robert Obrist. So he's one of the world's strongest men and it's his little brand. He's got a bunch of stuff, but I had the privilege of meeting him December of 21. And so I got a buddy of mine they were doing some stuff together. And so I was the cameraman. So I got to hang out and he's a great human being. And so I had to support him. So I thought it was hilarious, strong and pretty. So a lot of times I'll wear this to my daughter's volleyball tournaments. And so after that, I get interesting looks with that. I was like, it's girls. They're strong and pretty. Come on now.
Oh, because they think you're wearing it because you think you're strong and pretty.
Is correct. That
you are strong and pretty. Can a man be called pretty? I think so, right?
I think so, 100%.
That's a great shirt. Wait, what's his name? I got to look him up.
Robert Obrist. And I can send you his profile. So if anybody, let's see.
It's I would probably love
not
to see it.
Efficient to do that while we're talking here, but I'm going to do it. Again, the world gets what they get with me.
I just have to share that I'm so inspired by that. I was just talking to a friend, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I think the more that I see vulnerability in friends and whoever it is, really, that just to me is the ultimate power. Like it's just so inspiring to see that. And I admire that about you.
Well, it hasn't always been the case. So I just sent it to you. But that was, you know, when I started this podcast, and I know you have a podcast and I'm surrounded by people with podcasts. I just couldn't, my anxiety wouldn't allow me to try to be perfect because it would have drove me nuts. Cause when I was planning on trying to do it, I was freaking myself out. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to put it there and let it go. I think people appreciate that. You know, somebody sent me a message and it was about what they perceive about my life and the success that I'm having because of what they see on social media. And I was like, well, I appreciate what you think. That's not what the image that I'm trying to portray. I'm trying to be real about it, but we have to be careful what we put out there. And you do that. You do a great job of putting the good, the bad, and the ugly out there because that's what's going to help people.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And I think like you, and maybe we overanalyze ourselves, but I want to keep putting, I don't want to manufacture ugly, but there is ugly in probably most days that I live. And I think that idea that you just said about not the goal of perfection is just probably the most horrible goal you could ever have. And I think I still battle that. And I'll give you a quick example just because it's just happened. I gave a more like off the cuff speech at my Toastmasters club. This was this morning. And I normally prepare, and then, you know, come out and I'm fully ready. And I thought, let's just see what happens if I do this. And I was in my own head and like, this is a fail free zone. Like you can't screw up. That's why you do it. And you practice in front of people that want to get better. But I was still in my head thinking, this is in front of 7 people. It wasn't like a room of 100. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Like, I don't know if this is connecting. And I went for it anyways, but I think about that. And I admire you that you don't try to be perfect because I think that's held me back in the past.
Oh, I know it's held me back. And it still does. Like I'll freak out if I just get something that I misspell something and it's in the news. Like, well, what's somebody going to think if I misspelled something? Like, you know what? I'm not that important that they're hanging on every single word because they probably didn't even read the email that I sent them anyways. So, but I still want to put out a good product. And, but it's like, you know, am I going to stress myself out of editing it or paying someone to edit it? Because we don't get those opportunities every day in life. You just have to go, okay, that was an ugly moment. Let's move on. I can't edit that out and throw it on the cutting room floor.
That's true. That's very, very true. And I like the no editor. If I end up putting your podcast on my podcast, I have to apologize to Andy if you're watching this, because he's my editor. And I think he makes me look a lot better than I really am. But I like that you just put it out there. You are you.
Yeah. Well, and it's easy. I just upload it and there it goes. So be careful what you say, because it's not getting cut out.
I bet you've had some people on. This only happened to me once on my podcast where I was interviewing somebody and they did say, like, can you just edit out this piece? And it was good, because it was sort of a rambling mess and it was my fault for the question. But that's funny that whatever we say here, ship it.
Yeah.
Ship
it. And I guess if there was something really bad, I could figure it out, because again, I don't have any fancy editing equipment. I could cut it and figure it out, but pretty much you just got to be careful.
Oh, good. Now I'm sweating. Good.
There you go. Well, everybody, it's Matt Scaletti. He's the man. So I'm really excited to have you on, and you were one of the ones, and I apologize for not scheduling this sooner, but you were 100% one of the ones when I named the podcast Pathways to Greatness that I knew I had to have on, because of finding you. And I think I found you through Christopher Worth, I think. I'm not sure how I connected with you, but you were doing your 5 a.m. dance parties.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, who is this guy with this much energy at 5 a.m.? But I love it.
That's right. I was thinking about the same thing, how we originally got connected, because we've never met in person, have we?
We'd met at 29029.
Oh, sure. 29029.
Yeah.
That's right. But we were connected
before that.
Yeah. But that was in Vermont, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And again, I'm not sure. It's like you wonder, but then it like, does it matter? We're connected. That's all that matters.
That's true. That is all that matters. That 100% true. I'm glad whoever it was that connected us, I'm glad we are. And I'm glad that I decided to post that video of dancing like an idiot at 5 a.m.
Yeah, multiple times every day.
Many times. I actually, okay. I took my first hip hop dance class like 2 weeks ago, and it was a very humbling experience. And now the woman running the class follows me on Instagram, so now I'm self-conscious, like, oh, she's gonna be watching these going, I don't want to admit that I'm trying to coach this guy.
Well, it shows that you're putting in the work when you're not in class.
That's a fair way to put it. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that.
It's my daily practice for at 5 a.m.
That's right.
Well, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I like to have fun. And so I play Would You Rather.
So
would you rather freeze time or go back in time?
Oh. Would I rather freeze time or go back in time? My gut is telling me. I'm 39 years old. And I feel like in the past, I've had, as far as going back in time, I've had many setbacks that I've learned from. I've never felt better. I think I'm leading into an answer of freezing time. And maybe this is a selfish reason. I've just never felt better physically, mentally, emotionally than I do as I stand here in front of you today. And I think that hopefully will lead into, if I have more energy and feel better than ever spiritually, I can then give more to other people. So I'm going to say freeze time, because then I can just give and hopefully stay feeling like I'm 25 years old for many more years.
Well, I've been 39 for the past 11 years, if that makes any difference.
Wait a minute. When was your birthday? Are you 50?
Yeah, I just turned 50 this year, February 4th.
Happy belated birthday. 50. Yeah, you're 50 going on 30.
Yeah, exactly. Tell my knees that. So since you asked, this has been a physical challenge this year for me because I was planning on running and doing a 50-mile race for my 50th birthday. I thought, okay, this will be great. And some friends, they were going to go do a 50-mile race. Well, then I decided, well, you know what? Instead, I can't do the 50-mile race with them. I'm going to do the calendar club again, but in February. I was all planned. I was clearing my calendar, making sure I knew, getting everything. And then I just developed tendonitis in my knee. And it was like months. It's finally not, like, I haven't run in probably 3 months. I'm walking. So I'm getting up and I'm going walking, but it's been a challenge, man.
Yeah, that's definite challenge. I mean, especially because I know how big of goals you set, and then to not physically be able to get there. Yeah, I feel bad. Well, maybe we got to get, what about a bike? We got to get you a calendar club bike style.
Oh, not in Orlando, dude. Oh, yeah. I don't want to get run over. So we'll get into a lot more of that. So that's great. So live without music or TV?
Oh, 100% live without TV. I do have a TV back there. I was just laughing with my sister-in-law because I don't remember the last time I turned it on. I should probably just get rid of it. I love music, though. As you know, I can't. It's tough to have a 5 a.m. dance party with no music. I guess you could do it, but yeah, I'm going no TV. Give me the music.
So what are some of the things you like to listen to now?
I'm like a mood music guy. So okay. Like there are many, I mean, I'm a hip hop head. Like I love rap music. So in my heyday, like when I'm growing up as a kid, like even as a young adult, like Eminem, 50 Cent, Jay-Z, like those three, constantly. And I still listen to those three, especially when I'm working out. But then there's like, if I'm cooking or hanging out, throw on some Italian music, or like, I love just anything motivational. What's that song from The Greatest Showman? This Is Me. Is that what it's called? This Is Me. That's a,
I like, sure. I haven't listened to that soundtrack. That's good.
Shakira has a great song called Try Everything. I think it's called. I like motivational stuff like that. So yeah, combination. I'm all over the board. Intense hip hop, Rocky soundtrack, Italian music, and Disney. I love it all.
That's all right. That's good. So would you rather do a Spartan race or a running race?
Oh, that's a good one. I threw one in there because you know that I've done both of those. And now you got me really thinking. So I hear that question. I think, okay, if there's only one of those left ever, which correct. One would I chop out? And I would have to say I would keep the Spartan just because it combines the running with the upper body stuff. So I've always been like, I get bored easily. Maybe my ADHD kicking in. I definitely get bored. So I like the Spartan because it's upper body, lower body. It's like everything. Whereas running, which I love running. I mean, I just ran the Pittsburgh Marathon, but it's just cardio and legs. So there's no upper body to it. So I do like the Spartan because it gets everything. So I'll go Spartan race.
Okay. I thought that's the way you would answer it. I did. Right. Okay. So the last one, would you rather have pizza or tacos?
As you know, being a health nut that I am, the last time I had a pizza was after my first and only Ironman. I ate an entire pizza that night and it was pretty phenomenal. But I'm going to say tacos because I know myself enough to know if I kept eating pizza, I'd feel too guilty. So you give me a good like fish taco. Oh, I was in Florida a few months ago and I like fish tacoed my way through Florida. It was amazing. So I'm going tacos.
Okay, perfect. Well, everybody, this is Matt Scaletti. And I know some of our networks overlap, but there's a lot of people that follow me that don't know who you are because of the beautiful algorithm of Instagram. They may be following you and then you're just not popping up. So give everyone just a good brief background of who you are and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Oh, this is a, all right, let's see how brief I can do it. I can knock it out. All right. So always been a sports fan, basketball player growing up through high school, tried out. I went to University of Richmond, Virginia for college. I thought I was decent enough to walk on the team. Very humbling experience. I was nowhere near good enough to walk onto the team. And then I found, I think I resorted to partying, drinking way too much. And I, quite honestly, I enjoyed it. I met a ton of people. I was party Matt guy. I thought I would just stop that after college. I couldn't. So from end of college, fast forward 6 years, I'm in a professional job and I'm still drinking heavily 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week. And I hit my rock bottom in 2011. And we can go any direction you want to go, but it was one of those look in the mirror moments. And I hated the person that was looking back. So I met a mentor like a month after that, thank God. And he still mentors me to this day, 12 years later. So after meeting him, getting into new groups of friends, I fell in love with fitness. So I exchanged my love of partying and alcohol for fitness and healthy living. And I've been blessed to do a lot of things with my body over the last decade plus that is has made for a fun journey.
Yeah, and it's such a good story. And I've followed you and I've seen ups and downs. I've seen challenges that you've had. I've seen you climb mountains and succeed. And the purpose of the podcast and the reason why it's called Pathways to Greatness is nobody has a linear line to success. Nobody has that magic pill that gets them to greatness. And primarily because everybody has a different definition of greatness. And I just want to encourage people like you do, just not to quit. You could hit that moment that's down. You're 2011. Everybody has a 2011 in them. And it's that rising from the ashes of part of your story. And so it's so fitting that you picked freeze time versus back in time, because where we want to correct a lot of those mistakes that we made, if we didn't make them and learn from them, we wouldn't be where we are today. And it's a hard question to answer because we also want to go back and tell ourselves things like, don't do that, knucklehead.
I mean, that's so true. And like looking back 10 years as an alcoholic, I mean, I'll make light of it in this comment, but it's like, I wish I would have gone, why couldn't you learn that in 2 years? Why did it take 10? And I mean, I went through, I was married for 5+ years, went through a divorce a couple years ago. And I'm fascinated by this idea of flipping your story, a negative story. And clearly it was a rough time for me shortly after that. Can you use that as fuel, whatever the setback is, whether it's divorce, alcoholism, cancer in a family member and yourself, can you use that as fuel to propel you in a better direction? And I think that's what I've learned through the setbacks. And I don't regret any of them because of that. I mean, do I wish I had one marriage that lasted my whole life? Yes. But after that happened, now the reality is, okay, we need to shift and be present in that moment. And let's roll with it and see if we can flip this story. So yeah, that's been the highlights of my journey and lowlights, I guess, too.
Yeah. Well, but it's all part of it. And I asked that question because everybody needs to hear, they see Matt today. They see the 2023 Matt that you want to freeze in time, high energy, always smiling, always, you know, moving forward, but that hasn't always been the story. And we can't capture and lock someone in and saying, I want to be like Matt. All right. If you want to be like Matt, you get everything that comes with it. And that's what people don't want, but that's what we need to, you know, understand that we all have that, again, that past that we bring with, but we can change. And like you said, you exchanged something that was unhealthy with something that was healthy, and it propelled you to greatness. So what's your definition of greatness?
Oh, this is such a good question. I think greatness is, and I guess I answer it, the only answer I can give is from my own perspective, is just seeing somebody, whether it's yourself, and I get inspired by other people as well, going all in on something that they truly believe and stand for. And when they get punched in the face thousands of times, like we're all going to get in life, they get back up and they continue to strive for whatever that ultimate goal is. And I think too, it's like greatness is the process, is to me is everything. It's not like, you know, winning the trophy or whatever, like that's a great moment, but I love, like, greatness to me is the process of becoming great. And yeah, I think greatness is, it's like you have to, I don't even know if failure, I think Kobe Bryant said like failure is a myth. That's just an unwanted outcome, but you need to have the setbacks if you truly want to be great. And I think too, when I hear greatness, like a lot of times in my life, in those alcoholic days, if you'd have said, do you want to be great? If you'd asked me that, I'm sure I would have said, yeah, but I didn't really want it because I was taking no action to be great at anything other than hitting on girls when I was drunk. I mean, that was really all I was decent at. So yeah, I think that's a long way of answering your question, but when it's somebody's all in on their own life and what they value and they and unrelenting, I think that's greatness.
Yeah. And you said it really, really well. And when you were talking about how you like to observe, it's like seeing someone that's so passionate about something, even if it's jelly, if it's strawberry jelly, but you talk to them and they tell you everything that there exists about strawberry jelly. And you're sitting there going, what? Like, okay, they really love strawberry jelly, but I'm impressed that somebody puts that much dedication and time into studying something so much that you can't go, well, that's pretty cool. And then you tell everybody, you're like, look, this is weird. That dude knows everything about strawberry jelly that exists. And then everybody else is like, well, so is that strawberry jelly any good? Like, all right, let me tell you. No.
You know what? I love that story, Jeff, because I'm going to have to send this clip to my cousin for what I'm about to say. My cousin lives in Kentucky. She loves horses, obsessed with them. And I couldn't care less about horses until she got into it. And then she would tell me about different situations. I went down to visit, this is years ago, it's before COVID. And I drove home like, I think I love horses, because she was so passionate and loved it so much. It rubbed off on me, even though I didn't care much about horses beforehand. So I'm with you. I love that story.
Yeah. And we'll just go with it, is the fact that it's why people need to expose themselves to new things and new people, because you don't know what your next love or hobby or passion would be. I mean, who knows? That having someone share their love for something so much will change their life. And you don't know who that's going to be. And you do a good job with that, with your physical fitness, with, you know, lately you've been doing your cold plunges on Instagram, and you never know. Somebody might listen and hear you talk about the benefits, and you're not trying to sell cold plunges or sell anything. You're just sharing your experience and what you've learned about it. And I'm sure somebody that's following you has purchased an ice bath.
You're probably right. And I love that you shared that and that story, because that also came from somebody that I met. Like, we did this event 4x4x48 in March. And he's becoming a good friend of mine. Actually, I should connect you to him. His name's Arvin, young guy. I think he's only 23 or 24. And he had this extra cold plunge. He's like, I bought one a while back. For whatever reason, they shipped them two. And he's like, I'll send you one if you want. And I thought it was one of those things where, like, okay, haha, you'll send me one. Day after the event, he texts me, what's your address? And I'm like, okay, this is happening. So now it's sitting right there on my balcony and I go in every morning. But to your point, meeting new people, to me, like, that's one of my passions in life. Just, I'm a curious person on how people live their lives. And I think we can learn something from everybody, whether it's what to do or what not to do. I think everybody has a story that fascinates me.
Yeah. And I want to rewind a little bit when you were talking about your younger self, about how you didn't think that you wanted greatness. And the question that came to my mind is, do you feel like you didn't want it or didn't know how to obtain it?
Oh, that's a really good question. It was probably both. I probably did not know how to obtain it. And I also did not have any momentum going towards greatness. Like, my whole momentum was going in an unhealthy, lazy direction. And I really think it had to be a rock bottom moment. Like, anybody could have told me, Tony Robbins could have knocked on my door and said, hey, you should stop drinking. And I might've said, what are you talking about? Like, I'm fine. So yeah, I probably did not know how to obtain it. And I had little motivation as well. So it was sort of like the perfect storm of that. That's a really good question, though. That's a good one. You're going to have me thinking. I have to journal about that one tonight.
Yeah. And I ask it because I was on a friend's podcast a couple of years ago, Tim Douglas, and he has the Inspired Way. And he tells the story of the buffalo and of how they turn into the storm. They go through the storm and the cow runs away. And so he had asked me a similar question, and I was honest with him. I was like, I didn't know how to go into the storm. Like, I didn't even know that was possible. I only knew when you see a storm coming, you turn and run.
Yeah.
That's where you go. And it was just kind of like born in me. Like, I didn't know. And that's why I like to ask that question. So, because I do feel like many times we're too hard on ourselves and say, well, I didn't want it. But did I just not know? So the follow-up question is, and because you have a lot of exposure to different people that have done great things, what is your opinion in thinking that people feel like greatness is too hard to accomplish, or their idea of greatness is too grand versus just staying where they're at?
You're asking what I think about from talking to other people or myself?
Well, yourself, because you've talked to a lot of other people. So I feel like you probably have a good understanding of people kind of staying where they're at.
Yeah.
Because they think it's too hard to accomplish greatness because they think greatness means more than it does.
I think that is... I mean, if I'm thinking about myself, and I think this is going to answer the question. Once I got to the point of like for going after something great, which was, to me, it was in getting extremely healthy and going that route. I call it a negative vision. I thought about, if I stay on this path for 3 to 5 more years, which was full-blown alcoholic, where am I going to be? And I was convinced, because I think it's the truth, I would have been in jail or dead. Chances are very high of both of those. And I thought, okay, that's the trend line that I'm on. I don't want to be on that trend line. This is painful to think of myself in 5+ years. What are we going to do about it? And then I think then I had to change. Like, there was no choice because I didn't want those outcomes. And I thought about it. And then I think this is to answer your first question, meeting my mentor, he basically gave me the blueprint of, if you want to be healthy, here you go. And let's talk once a week. And if you eat these foods, get this much sleep and work out an hour a day, this is going to be the result. And I think this is a big takeaway too, as far as greatness, and maybe the stars just aligned, but he believed in me before I fully had the belief in myself. And that was, I mean, I'm forever, like, I can't give him enough to thank him for that. And to have somebody who was as highly esteemed as he is and was in the speaking world and health and wellness space say to me, like, I have belief in you. Not only do I have belief in you, I'm going to spend time with you on the phone once a week to show you that I believe in you. I think it opened the floodgates and it switched my momentum and then made me realize this greatness thing is possible. And now I want it. Now it's something that I can get behind. And then I think the momentum thing is huge too. Once the momentum started to build, I'm like, okay, I set a goal. Let's see if I can lose a certain amount of weight, quit drinking. Okay, now I'm starting to feel better, look better. What if I compete on stage in these physique competitions? That sounds like a more fun thing than drinking until 3 o'clock in the morning. So I think everything just, it's just built on top of one another. And yeah, that was a long way of answering your question, but you really
it was exactly what I was hoping for, because what I want the audience to hear is there's process and it just doesn't happen.
That's true.
Some people, it just happens. But if you really peel back the layers, there's a lot more involved than you think it is. And that's why these conversations are so valuable to me, is because you get to learn and the audience gets to learn different processes of how they can do things differently. So the first thing that I want you to talk more about is, and I wrote it down because I really, really like about it, is the negative vision. Where will I be if I stay on the same path? Walk me through, some of the processes that you use when you ask yourself that question and how somebody else could change their trajectory by using a question like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. It was twofold for me. What I did was, and this is in 2011, like as I was progressing towards my rock bottom, I started, and I didn't even know why I was doing any of this. I think I was desperate to make a change, but I just didn't realize it yet. I was journaling. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to journal every morning. I'm hungover. I'm going to journal about it. And I'm going to be real. I'm going to say what I think, what I feel, what's going on. And so I did it for probably 2 months. And then this rock bottom morning, I actually read all of the journal. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. I read all of the journal entries, and I didn't even need to read all of them because they were all the same. They were all, I feel horrible. I feel unmotivated. I'm gaining weight. And it's like, oh, like this is the trend line, down, 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 down. And then that morning was that negative vision of, I mean, I looked myself in, straight in the eye in the mirror, and I could still, I mean, I remember like it happened an hour ago. And it was like, do you want this in 5 years? Do you know where you're going to be? It's not going to be anything good. And it wasn't like, and then everything changed and life was perfect, but it was, the decision was made then. The decision was, I am not going to let alcohol ruin my life from this day moving forward. That was the decision. And I think it just took some looking inside of myself that I hadn't done really ever, probably ever in my life, to come to that conclusion. But yeah, I think that, and as you know, and you're the same, we're positive people, but I think the negative vision, if you're on a tough trend line to help trigger you to start that change. I'm even a fan of, I was just talking to a friend about this last week. Like, I think a lot of us change when you get disgusted enough with yourself and you say, okay, it's on me. Like, nobody was forcing beers down my throat. I blamed everybody that I could. They weren't forcing me. I was the one consuming. Mm-hmm. I was the one putting myself in those situations. And that same morning I realized, so that must mean I'm the one that can get myself out of the situation if I put myself in there. And that was empowering. That was like, holy crap. Like, I'm the driver of this whole ship. I've just driven in a bad direction for many years. So I think just coming to that realization helped me it lit a fire under me that has not gotten out. It's only grown stronger in the last 12 years.
Yeah. And what's critical that I want people to hear what you said is that you got to that point where you had to face yourself in the mirror. And then the whole time though, people also have to give themselves grace and hear stories like yours, is that a lot of times I know when I've had my stare myself in the eye moment, I don't think I can do it. And that's the last thing that anybody needs to believe, because that's a complete lie that's being circulated in your brain, because you see people like Matt and I, you can change when you make the decision. The world is full of people who have changed for the better because they decided to change. So if you're looking at yourself in the mirror, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, know that you can change when you put yourself in a position and surround yourself, like you said, because I want to go into that, with people that believe in you. And you may not think that people believe in you, but people do.
This is one of my, I love talking about all this, but yeah, the idea of who you surround yourself with, I actually just, this is probably like 2 weeks ago, I was trying to figure out how to package it. And I'm a big, like, I was never in the military, but I love speaking to veterans and meeting veterans. And I think you are the general of your army. You're the one that decides who are you going to put yourself around. And what I love sharing is I think your army determines your apex. So as high as you go in life, who you surround yourself with, and I think it was Jim Rohn that originally said it, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Who is in your army and what direction are they going? Are they encouraging you? Are they supporting you? Are they real with, do they call you out on your BS whenever you're, I'll give you a quick example of somebody in my army who just, this just happened probably a month ago at this speech competition. And I had to give like a shorter speech and then a longer speech. And she came up to me, and this is like, it was like a higher tense scenario. Like you're in this competition. I gave the shorter speech and then I came off stage. She came up to me in front of other people, and she knows what I needed to hear in that moment. But she came up to me and said, "Hey, Matt, like, what was that? You had more in the tank and you didn't give it your all." And I mean, it hit me like a brick, but like she knew what to say. And it, like, I want somebody like that in my army who is not afraid to tell me what I need to hear, even if it's difficult for her to say and for me to hear.
Right. And it's hard because those are the people that you don't want around you.
No, it's true.
You know, you need them around you. And it's the element of trying to figure out how do you get these people and keep them and not get, you know, I have a friend that calls it butt hurt. Don't get butt hurt when they give you the real truth, because, you know, that's the only way you're going to get better. If everybody's just telling you yes, and you're doing great and you're not, well, what benefit is that?
Yep, that's so true. And I do think in this particular woman is an amazingly good speaker. I think she's probably one of the best speakers I've ever seen live. So it does help for, I think, the person that's giving you advice, if they've proven it themselves. Now, whatever she says, I'm going to pay attention because she knows what she's talking about. So yeah, I think it's like the old adage, if you hang around 9 broke people, you're going to be number 10. So don't take financial advice from somebody who's broke. I wouldn't take speech advice from somebody that's not at least a decent speaker. But yeah, I agree. Like, you don't want those people around, but they're the ones that can lift you higher. So I think, yeah, your army determines the apex of how high you go, or as I've seen, how low you can go. I think it's hard to hang out with people at a certain level and you are 10x that level. That doesn't last for that long of a period of time.
What are some things from those people that made an impact on you that you learned of how to give advice, how to give criticism in a positive way? What were some things that they did that impacted you and how they served it up?
That's a really good question, because I still struggle with this when, if people ask me for advice, I still struggle. Like I'd prefer almost somebody wants to tear down my speech and say, you should have done that. Like, I'll listen all day. I'm like, okay, that's helpful. But sometimes I struggle with the giving of the advice part for whatever reason, maybe more so one-on-one, since I do a decent amount of that on stage speaking. I love the, we're taught this in Toastmasters. I don't know if you've heard of this, if this is across the globe, but I think they call it the hamburger method of giving advice, where you say something good and then you give them something they can improve on, and then you finish it with something good. I mean, I'm a fan of of that way of doing it. I think it just softens the blow of it's not even like the negative thing though. It's just something that they can work on to improve. Like, I think it's coming from such a great place of you want to see that person get better, but then I think it's in the tone and it's in the way that you give that advice that could really be the difference of if they listen to it or not.
Right. And I use the example many times of John Wooden and I want to say it's not. Yeah. Phil Knight. Yeah. So you had
Nike.
Well, not Nike. Who's the one that threw the chair across the floor?
Bobby Knight. Yeah.
Bobby Knight. I knew it was a Knight. I was like, dadgummit. But you have two effective coaches that deliver things completely different. I'm a John Wooden guy. Like that, I'm going to respond more to John Wooden, but there's been times in my life I need that Bobby Knight smack me in the mouth because I just wasn't paying attention to what John Wooden. Now, long term, I'm going to hang out with John Wooden forever. And it's like with Goggins, there's times in life you need a Goggins type smack in the mouth. And some people resonate really well with that. And some people don't. And it's been surprising. Certain points of one of my big shifts in my life came from listening to Can't Hurt Me. And I'm not a language guy like that. That turns me off. But for whatever reason, everything that he shared, I needed to hear it. I needed to hear it. I needed what he told, the message that he was giving. But then I phased out of that. And then I listened to his new book, Never Finished. And I really enjoyed that because you could see the growth, his maturity. There wasn't as much arrogance in his voice in that book than in the first one.
Yep.
And, you know, for me, and it sounds like that's what you see as well, it's the genuineness of the advice that you're either receiving or giving. And so that's what I want to challenge people to do, is to think about how you've been receiving advice that have been beneficial to you and learn from that and how to deliver guidance, advice, suggestion, criticism in some of those ways, and then see if it resonates, but always be genuine and want to uplift someone, like you said, versus tearing them down.
Yeah, this is a really good discussion because I've never thought about this as in depth as we're going. I love that. And I can, maybe this will be helpful to your audience too. So this speech competition that I mentioned, this is the first time in my life, like I've been blessed to give a lot of speeches. This is the first time though, I've ever really honed in on one obsessively over the course of months. So what you have to do is you go to these different clubs and you practice, give the speech, give the speech, give the speech, and they all give feedback. And it was the first time I had to sit in probably 30 or 40 rooms and just listen to people pick apart what I'm saying. And I think the first three or four, it was like so painful. I'm like, oh, like I'm doing 17 things wrong and I think I'm doing great. But then by the fifth or sixth one, it's like, wait a minute, these are potential gold that they're giving me to help me get better. And it's just, I really started seeing in a different way, like almost they're not even close to personal attacks. They're trying to help me have a better impact on the audience that I'm giving this speech to. And I almost like created some distance between myself and the speech. It was like, I am not the speech. Like they're critiquing the speech. They're not coming at Matthew Scaletti. They're trying to help me make something better so that I can deliver it in a more powerful way. So yeah, I think about that. And then I think about me giving advice to others. And yeah, you have me really thinking about how I do give advice to other people. I don't know if you ever took I'm actually taking one next month, a Dale Carnegie course, but they talk about this exact topic of how to give advice. And I think I probably overly hesitate with advice because I try to just speak from my experiences. And if there is something that I can give from what I've found to be true, I'm open to that. I'm very careful with, like, if you ask me something about Pokemon, you know, I'm not going to try to come up with an idea that I know nothing about. So I think I hesitate if somebody asks me for advice just to make sure I know enough on that topic to then feel like I can give some value add.
One thing that I hope people heard, and they should go back a couple of minutes and listen to it again, but I'll recap, is what you said about the speech, that the people that are giving you the criticism or the advice, they're talking about the thing in the middle, not you personally. And that's important for us to hear and to know, that when you give advice, give it for the thing, not for the person. Because, and that's how I need to receive it. And when you said that, it just created this picture in my mind that I needed to see. And the picture was you here, and I know people can't see this because I'm not going to put the video up, but you on one side, the audience on the other side, and the speech is right there in the middle. And that's the way you described it. And that's the thing that they're helping us with. Another visual, if people have seen it, and this is like that breakthrough moment as well, is when a fighter jet hits Mach and they have that big ring around them. So you just have all the ring of smoke or whatever it is. I know people are going to criticize me for not knowing specifically, but you have the fighter jet in front, but you have this big ring that surrounds it. Like it's coming through because it's breaking through the sound barrier, which creates a physical response. And the same things for us is if you can break through that thing in the middle that people are giving you advice for, it's cool on the other side.
Oh, that is so true. Yes. And that's exactly what I have learned through this whole speech competition process. And what I'm hopeful that happens, and I think it will, is now whenever I get critiqued or somebody comments something about whatever it is that I can do better, instead of being defensive, I'm going to be thinking, wait, they're trying to give me a gift here. Let's think this through and see if this could be helpful. Because yeah, I think a lot of times I feel like it's harder for the person giving the advice. They're just as nervous to give you that critique as I am to be receiving it. But I think if they're coming from, and if you're giving the advice, you're coming from a genuine place of love and caring, I think it's hard to go wrong there.
Yeah, that's so good. What are some things that you've learned through this Toastmaster experience? And by the way, he won first place. It was a region competition or the state competition?
Yeah, so it was like the region. So now I'm just waiting to see if I'm selected for the world championships, which is in August. So I'm sweating it out every day, but we'll see.
That's awesome. So, but with that, what are some things that you've learned in Toastmasters giving speeches that you apply to your everyday life?
Oh, there's so many things. And I love talking about this, by the way. And I don't work for Toastmasters or anything. I think it's the best personal growth, get out of your comfort zone leadership organization on the planet. And it's just, it can change your life. I know that because it changed mine. I think one of the things it's really helped me with, for full disclosure, public speaking, I was horrible at it. I joined Toastmasters, oddly enough, in 2011, 2012 is when I started really getting into it, because I was horrible. I the first speech I had to give was 5 to 7 minutes. I just told this story a few weeks ago. It was supposed to be 5 to 7 minutes. First speech, mine lasted 1 minute and 58 seconds because I panicked. I wasn't forming sentences. I don't know what I said. And I got to 1 minute and 58 and I'm freaking out. I'm sweating. And I said, thank you, and sat down. So it gave me a starting point though. And I wanted to get better for whatever reason. I think it was because I feared it so much. I wanted it. Like, it's like that thing that you fear, but I'll keep attacking until I figure this out. And I think one of the things it has taught me is if you want it bad enough, it may take time. It may take a lot of pain and a lot of failure and a lot of embarrassment. But I basically made a promise to myself in 2012, I will become, at that point, it was like just a decent speaker. And it took the better half of 10 plus years to get there. I've competed, Jeff, you're going to laugh at this too. This competition I'm telling you about in 2023, that I'm now waiting to see if I got a chance to be on the biggest stage in Toastmasters. I competed 6 times prior to this. And there's basically 5 levels. You have to win each level. I never made it out of level one. So the last time I got second place in 2016, 17, 18, 19 at level one, same guy beat me all four times. And there was only two people in it. So I got last place too, every single time. But I'm like, I want to get better. I want to get better. And then you get mentors and you get people to help you grow. And I think if it taught me anything, it's resiliency of if you have that ultimate goal, dream, idea, whatever it is, and you're like you said in the beginning, if you refuse, you take quitting off the table, eventually something good has to happen if you're putting in the work. And I've gotten embarrassed more times on stage than I would like to admit in many different ways. But it's like, as soon as I'd come off, I'm like, okay, I'm still alive. My heart's still beating. I still have this mission and this drive to get better. I'm going to keep getting up there. So it's definitely taught me that. I think the other thing it's taught me is it's kept me calmer in the face of adversity. Because again, this is something that I feared my whole life. So when I'm making a little bit of progress overcoming the fear, it's like euphoric that I'm building upon, okay, my first speech, a minute 58. That's humiliating and horrible, but okay, we have a baseline. Let's get up there for 2.5 minutes next time. And I think that has really been something that's helped me as well. So yeah, just resiliency, taking quitting off the table and not being afraid to keep getting up there. If it's something that you want, like the process is the fun. The process is just so fun if it's something that you're truly passionate about, I think.
Yeah, because if you gave up on the process, you never would have accomplished your goal.
Never. Yeah, never. And I may still not. Like 2 out of 10 people get selected of these district winners. So I don't think I should put this in the universe, Jeff, but I'm almost like weirdly, if I don't win, like if I don't get selected, I almost weirdly want to be like, how am I going to react to that? And I have a feeling it's going to be even more obsession next year because I want to get back to it. So yeah, I guess I'm blessed that I found something that I love and I'm going to be tenacious about attacking it until I'm dead.
Well, and I hope that's what people hear in what you said is you described the podcast better than I do, is that it's that pathway, it's that constant search, the moving. And you stated, but if you want it bad enough, 10 years, did everybody hear that? It wasn't like you focused and 10 weeks later, you're winning things. 10 years, you were though focused on the process and just improving. And a great cherry on top of the process is I won, but you weren't going to beat yourself up and didn't see the growth that you've made over 10 years because you got second.
True.
I got to ask, did you beat the guy or did he move?
So that's so funny. I still know the guy. His name is Matt too. And I sent him a text as I was going through and I was like, I hope you're not competing. We're in different clubs. He actually, I wish he would have competed. He did not compete this year. He's a really good speaker, but I moved. He's at the same club, but I did not get a chance to compete against him, which would have been sweet. Or maybe he would have beat me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Well, and I just want, again, people hear the process that you took and that your life has been that ongoing process of constant improvement. But it's putting in the work. I mean, it wasn't something that was easy. You shared that. I would just want to remind everybody as you surround your people, you're the general of your army to reach the, to determine your apex, right? That's what you said.
Yeah. Your army determines your apex. Yeah.
Yeah. And so put yourself in places where there's really good people around you. You know, we talked about 29029 at the beginning. I mean, what a better group of people to be around. It's people that are of all walks of life, all socioeconomic levels. Everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different why, but everybody's focused on just climbing that mountain every day. And that's when I think of pathways to greatness, I think of that mountain. I think of Stratton. I think of the mud, the inclines, my heart about to blow out of my chest at certain points where you have to lean on your poles. How great would the world be if everybody had the same attitude as every climber on that mountain. Giving people motivation, being positive, people just helping. And their whole goal is just to be positive and give water. Nobody's tearing anybody down. Nobody's pointing any fingers. And everybody just wants to see you get that silly red hat. That's all you get is a red hat.
It's everything you just said is so perfect of a summary of that event. And I try to, I don't know if you have any plans on it, like volunteering at that event. I mean, doing it, everything about the event is just amazing. I try on my calendar. I was talking to Cowbell Rob. I'm sure you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I told him, I'm like, I need to be at one of these events every year in some capacity, just because of what you said. It's like this, you get around these people, and I don't know that I've ever seen an environment like that. And just the, yeah, like you said, the stories of people that have whatever they've gone through, and this is like the ultimate challenge. And if they can just get up one more ascent, and even like the people that, I think you have to go up 17 times in Vermont, like the people that get up 6 times, but like, that's everything they had. I'm just as inspired by that person. Like, to me, that's greatness for what they had. And I think that event celebrates you versus you better than most that I've seen. And I think that's just the ultimate game, is like, can you beat what you thought you can do? And I get goosebumps thinking about whoever that is that does it, because that gets me fired up.
Well, and you think about how good you feel, because I've talked to people who have done the mountain and people who have volunteered. And a good friend of mine, he's done both. He said he got more out of volunteering than he did out of the mountain itself.
Have you ever volunteered?
I haven't, but I want to. Like, we were going to volunteer for Canada, and then just tons of stuff has happened, and I just haven't been able to get back on the schedule. But I want to experience that, because I love cheering people on. Like, that's my superpower. And that's truly the gift that God gave me, is being an encourager. And so I know I would get a ton out of being there and looking at somebody's face that probably looked like mine, that's flush and not sure if he's going to make it. And then just say, here, have a half a banana and some honey. Okay. And then your lights turn back on. How did you like the difference of the two?
Now, this is such an interesting conversation, because I've never thought about it as this in depth. And I think what you just said, you really got me thinking, Jeff, about like who I am as a person, because I think, so when I did 29029 in Utah, I've only been a climber one time. I was just coming off an Achilles injury that basically had me out for like over a year. And it was emotional, because that was like I didn't think I was going to be able to do anything for who knows forever. So I was able to complete that. And it was like, okay, maybe this is the start of, I can slowly start coming back. But I think I do get more joy and just euphoria and energy from in Vermont. I think this will be the third year I've done it, being at the top of that mountain. And just like you said, encouraging one person at the right time who needed it, that maybe that is the reason that, you know, that they do one more ascent and then one more. And like, I'm with you. I'm very similar in that encouraging aspect of it. Like, I feel like I could be encouraging people for 72 hours straight and I wouldn't be tired. I love that side of it. So I think I probably get a little bit more, I feel more like myself as a volunteer than as a competitor. I think for me, it's, you get different things out of each role, but what you got me thinking about is, what does that say about me? Like, if I like the volunteer side more, that means I align with what you said. Like, I want to be the cheerleader, the encourager, maybe even more so than the competitor. And maybe that's why I like to speak, to share some of that stuff, to try to encourage others to level up their lives too. But you really got me. That's a great takeaway for me. I appreciate you sharing that.
No problem. I knew this was going to be good. So what would you like to leave the audience with a key takeaway or two?
Key takeaway or two, I think key takeaway is action kills fear. I think I really think that consistent action is the cure-all to almost anything. Just keep attacking relentlessly, no matter what it is. And then and I think this is important too, and I'm learning this about myself. It's okay to be flexible. Like if your goal is to run XYZ business and you attack full force, and then you realize, wait a second, I'm really supposed to be doing ABC business. Like, I think it's okay, like, to shift and be flexible with what you're going after. If you know that that's not, it can change, like what the target could potentially change. But I just think action in any area, like when I get around people and especially older people, and they give you the story of the shoulds, I should have tried to run a marathon, or I should have asked that girl out on a date. I should, like, it just pains me to listen to that. And I think it's just true. Action would have killed all that. And maybe it's just you. What if that person would have signed up for one 5K? Like, that could have been the trigger that got them to run that marathon that they now regret they never did. So I think action killing fear and consistent action is, I think it cures almost anything.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. How can people find you? I don't want to say anything to take away from that, because that's so good.
No, you're not. This is good. I feel like I'm getting more out of this than you and your audience. You're getting me to look inside myself even deeper. I love it. I'm most active on Instagram with just my name, at Matt Scaletti. I love interacting with people on there. Any DM, I will respond to all. And I about anything, health, wellness, mindset, I love it.
Now, what can I do? Anything I can do to support you?
Okay, here, I'm going to say it on camera, so that way it'll hold us both accountable. I feel like I need to be, like, I just need to have you in a closer inner circle. Like, we vibe, like, your energy, the way you're asking these questions and your energy, it's so obvious to me. I don't know if you see it because you're in it, like, but it's so obvious to me that you just care. Like, you care about me, you care about your audience. And I think that's why you care about the questions. You want to get the best out of me so then you can give it to your audience. I just think you're a great guy, and I hope we continue to get closer, because it's a relationship that I want to keep building upon.
Sounds perfect to me. I can do that all day long, because I agree. We're like-minded fellas.
We are.
So, and I want to go to a higher apex. So I need people like you in my army.
I need to get prettier. So maybe you can help me out with that.
I don't know. So I don't know if you saw this, and then we'll wrap this up. So my son, I posted a picture of me in middle school, and then my father-in-law pieced a picture together with me in middle school and then my son. And we look like identical, and you can probably go back. It's scary. So I looked at him, I was like, hey bud, I'm really sorry that this is what you got to look forward to. And he was nice. He's like, well, can I at least keep my hair? I was like, I don't know.
Hey, I'm with you on that. I need to get mine shaved again too.
Yours is just short. I don't have any. There's a difference. There's a big difference, Matt.
I'll be there soon. I love a shaved head, man. I'm in on that for life, I think.
Yeah, I started probably 20 years ago, and so most people have never seen me with hair, because I was growing and I was losing it on top, and I was like, okay, I'm going to grow my hair out. And then I looked at myself in the mirror, and I just looked like the stereotypical movie insurance or used car salesman guy. Not that there's anything wrong with either one of them. That's why I said Hollywood's stereotype of what one of them would look like, because it was thick on the sides and really thin on the top. I was like, I'm done. I'm out. It's gone.
Just own it, right? Just own it.
Yep. And God blessed us with round heads, so we're good.
I know. I don't know if they're paid on tips, but like the lady that shaves my head, she's like, you have a good head to be shaved. And I'm like, I told her, I'm like, are you just saying that? Like, you want me to give you a bigger tip, or you think my head is decent?
You don't cut your own hair?
No, I don't. Should I?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
I know I should. I've been going to the same person forever and she's awesome, but maybe I should.
Well, if that's helping her out, then that's helping her out, but it's super simple.
Oh, I mean, I'm sitting in the chair for all of 4 minutes. I mean, and then, yeah, I probably should just do it on my own.
Yeah. She'd miss you. Maybe every other one.
That's what I should do. That's definitely what I should do.
Wean yourself off of her.
Oh man, I love this. We have this, seriously, you got me thinking deep down. I love this stuff. Like, this is so cool.
Yep. Well, Matt, I appreciate you. Everybody, I'm going to have anything, whatever he needs me to put in the show notes, I'll put them down there. And it was great. I enjoyed it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment if you enjoyed the show. To follow on social media, at Matt Scaletti on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message, reach out. I'd love to hear feedback, and wishing you an amazing rest of your week.